to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
You bring your Bible this morning. If you brought your Bible, go to the book of the book of Romans, and the first chapter. I'll get it right here. Romans, the first chapter. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I don't know. You might have just seen me step off that platform. That's the power of God. Because last week I hurt my left knee, and I just did it with my left knee. Praise the Lord. I didn't even think about it. I just stepped right off and put all the weight on there. Like, yep, I told it to be strong, and it obeyed. So, but praise the Lord. I just wanted to share that. I just thought about it after I got down here. Hallelujah. If you can't praise God for anything in your life, praise Him for something in my life. But you can. You got something in your life to praise Him for. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. We're going to get something out of the Word today. Last Sunday we had a Holy Ghost meeting. I never got to teach. That's fine. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's the way the Lord moved. And we received those things. And then on Wednesday, we weren't here. So let's get a good meal. What do you say? Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16 and verse number 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Glory to God. I'm not ashamed to wear my hat that says something about God. I'm not ashamed to carry my Bible in public. I'm not ashamed people identify who I am. I'm not ashamed. He's done so much for me. And so I said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel. Talking about the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. You're looking for the power of God? It's in the good message. It's in the good word. It's in the gospel. And not the watered down kind people preach. I'm talking about the real 100 proof. Strong gospel. It's the power of God. People just see church as, something, traditional to do. No, if the word is preached there, it's the power of God. And listen, there's more churches than just us preaching in the word in this city. So, but we thank God for our church. We get the word here. But he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Notice it's just not the power of God. Generally, it is the power of God to everyone that believeth. So that's the catalyst. That's what you got to mix with it. You remember science class? They put something in the beaker, and then they put a little stopper on the top and gave you one of those lab coats to wear, put goggles on, and said, okay, introduce through that little tube on the top, introduce this chemical. Boom! And it exploded. You remember that? Well, that stuff you put in there afterwards was the catalyst. It released the power. And he's saying here, the gospel's got power in it, but it needs your faith as the catalyst to release it. That's the only difference why it's working in some lives and not working in other lives. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Jew first and also to the Greek. And so therefore, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. All right, so there's more in the gospel than just power. There's revelation. In the gospel is power, and in the gospel there's revelation. Therein, in the gospel, is the, according to verse number 17 here, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. There's righteousness in the gospel. The gospel will make you put you in right standing with God. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's an Old Testament scripture. The just shall live by faith. It's repeated over and over in the scripture in the New Testament many times. The just shall live by faith. But he said, the just live by faith, and the gospel has righteousness in it. It has power in it. And these things are all revealed. These things are all manifested. These things come to light through the gospel. But it comes to light from faith to faith. Power is available at full, all of God's power is available to us. But, and all that God knows and want and has in his heart to share is available to us. It's all in the gospel. But it's manifested, or in the case of this revelation being revealed, it's revealed or made known or seen from faith to faith. In other words, we receive it on our end by degrees. You following me? We receive the power of God into our lives to affect the different situations that go on in our lives. Anybody ever had a situation? Or a situation? Or whatever. There's things that need power to address them. The body of Christ, we're power brokers. We don't just approach things in our own effort and our own power. We approach them with the message of the gospel in our heart and in our mouth. And that's faith, believing it in our heart and speaking it with our mouth. And our situation or our situation, whichever, it encounters something greater than us. It encounters power from God. Power from God. And that power, it goes to work and it changes it. And all of a sudden, the righteousness of God was revealed. What God said was right. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is right. And that's not the way it was. Is not right. That's wrong. This is what's right. Boom. It's revealed. And God turns it right. Makes what was wrong right. I know that's not the only meaning of righteousness, but that's part of righteousness. You were a sinner and he made you what was you who were wrong right. I was messed up in my head, and he's making that right. That's all righteousness. So, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I want to emphasize this part here this morning, and where we go with this and how many services we go with this, I don't know. We'll see how we're led, because I believe in being led from service to service. I believe God knows what each of us need, and he tailors services just for us. He knows who's going to be there, and he knows what to say. So, we'll see how far we go, but I want to focus in on this revelation or believing God for revelation. You might say, well, what's the big deal? Well, let me just remind you of one verse at least. There's several. There's quite a few, but we already quoted it, Romans 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth that you know, in other words. When God says know the truth, he's not talking about head knowledge. Okay, check, I've heard that, now I know it. He's talking about revelation. Revelation. There are two kinds of knowledge. There's sense knowledge and there's revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is what happens when you go, oh, I get it. Oh my goodness, I've been looking at that verse for 25 years. And maybe you had a little light on it, but revelation is whenever you go, whoa, I never saw it that way. I thought it said, that's not what it, well, the way I thought it said, it doesn't read. This is what it says. That's revelation. You know, you can read a verse and not get it. I can read a verse. I'm not just talking about you. All of us can read a verse and just not get it. You can stare at the ink on the page. You know what I'm talking about? And don't see what it's saying. Amen. Not have a clue what it's talking about. It might even seem confusing. You ever read a verse? You're like, well, that's confusing to me. Well, it's not because it is confusing. It's that you or I or whoever's saying that don't have light on it. Yeah. Light is a term for revelation. That's why we use that term. Amen. Well, spiritual truth is not hard to understand. It's very simple. You remember the Bible talks about the simplicity that's in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, I believe, or 10, whichever. I believe it's 11. Anyway, you can do a little bit of study. But it talks about, he said, you know, I fear lest Satan has deceived you. You remember that? lest your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The things of God are very simple. Very simple. Just in fact, whenever you get revelation, you go, oh, well, of course, that's simple. The only time that it's not simple is whenever we don't have light on it. It's just so confusing. You know, they talk about healing. It's just so confusing. I'm confused. No, it's just that you need light. You need light. Amen. And if I or any preacher, any minister, share something that's confusing, I mean, there might be something that from time to time we don't understand from what somebody's sharing. It's because maybe they have light on something that we don't understand. But I'm just talking about continuously, over and over again, everything's confusing.
Yeah.
Well, then they don't have light of what they're talking about, because if they did, it'd be simple. Because real revelation is simple. It's not hard. In fact, when you see it, you go, oh, well, dumb. Of course. Why was I such a dummy? Yeah. It's amazing how it works. Well, glory to God. So spiritual truths really aren't confusing or hard to understand. But whenever revelation comes, it becomes simple. How do we get further revelation, Pastor? Well, Romans 1:17 told you how. The things of God, or just knowing God Himself, knowing God better, knowing Him, revelation of His Word, more sensitivity to His leadings and guidings in your life, more experience of His presence, more enjoyment in your prayer time, more getting answers in your prayer time, all these things, they all come from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Say that out loud. From faith to faith. From faith to faith. If someone has more revelation than you do, it's because they have more faith than you do for that revelation. And we all have a degree of revelation. None of us know it all. None of us fully know God. You know, God, if you're walking in all the light you have, He'll meet you and fellowship with you where you are. But if you or I keep listening to Him, He'll constantly be showing Himself and revealing Himself more. More and more. If we'll walk in the light and believe God for revelation. I said, believe God for revelation. Everything we as believers do by faith. Faith is for every area of life. Including getting to know God, understanding His Word, getting revelation, however you want to say it. It comes by exercising faith. No faith, no revelation. I've met people that don't want to understand certain things. They don't want to exercise their faith, because if I understand it, then I'll have to. I could tell you stories. I don't have time to this morning. But it's obvious they didn't want to, because they were struggling in the area. We shared with them what the Word says about it. A year later, they come still struggling with it. What have you done? What have you done with the Word along this line? Did you take what we said last year? Have you gotten good books along this line? Have you found where somebody else has the revelation you're seeking? Well, that was the mistake when I said that you're seeking, because they were not seeking. Because they hadn't done a thing with it. They had forgotten what we told them a year before. They had not gone and gotten any books. They had not sought the revelation. You'll get it if you seek it in faith. God promised you He would meet you there. Go to Proverbs chapter number 2 here. Oh, I got so much. How can you get it all in one service? I'm just going to follow the Lord. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, God's talking to His children. If thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. If you cry after knowledge, lift up your voice for understanding. In other words, you're saying, God, help me. Give me some light. Give me some understanding. And you're applying yourself, not playing games with this. Not humoring the preacher saying, I really want to understand, and then not doing something in your private time. Not from your heart saying, God, help me. If you're hurting in an area, that's an area for you to seek. Seek understanding. Seek to know and understand what you don't know and understand. So he said, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, verse 4, if you seek her as silver, searches for her as for hid treasure. Just like you go after your, let's put it in modern day terms, just like you go after your paycheck. You give hours to that. Time and attention. And you burn the midnight oil sometimes. Go after getting revelation just like that. Well, I don't have time to study. I got this and this and this. Don't you understand, Pastor? Well, God must not understand because you're accusing God of not understanding because he said go after it. Seek for it. Just like you'd look for hidden treasure. Let's say somebody said, Pastor Jay, years ago, I had an uncle that told me years ago that his great uncle, I mean, that's great, great, you know, a couple uncles back, owned the land you have over there that you bought. Really? Yeah. And he told me, this is what he said, Pastor Jay. He told me there's a buried pot of gold out there on that land. What do you think I'd do? I'd get to looking for it. I go, really? Abouts. Where do you think that is? We don't know, and so I'd have teams of guys out there. I'll give you a portion of it. Get some metal detectors. We're gonna scan that whole thing, man. Put in a stake. Okay, we've come this far. Let's go to the next. Okay, put in another stake. Here we go. We're looking for beep 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 beep. And we do it the sun up to sundown. We do it when it's half dark and we're tripping over branches and, you know, we're seeking. That's what he said. You can go after the revelation from God like that. And God said, I'll meet you there. So he said, seek for it as for hid treasure or for silver and gold. Then verse 5, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Only then. Not skimming along the surface. Not bound. You know, if we're going to seek, every little beep, we're going to get the shovel out. Yeah, I'm talking about looking for that pot of gold. Yeah. Every little beep, we're going to get the shovel out, and we're going deeper than surface. And if you're going to seek to know God, everything that is shared in church that goes, boom, you're going to go home and go, oh, man, Lord, I saw that today. And you're going to get your Bible out and go back to that verse. Okay, I remember I wrote it down. This is what the Spirit of God was saying through Pastor. Oh, yes, Lord, thank you for understanding. That stood out to me for some reason. Just like that beep on the metal detector. Bing! There's something down there. We might dig and find a bottle cap, but at least we went after it. In God's Word, whenever you can sit in a service and something goes bing, you'll never dig and find a bottle cap. You'll dig and you'll find some gold. Treasure, revelation, truth that makes me free. Just like a pot of gold that paid for the house or paid for the... Come on, amen. Praise the Lord. Then, verse 5, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. When he says knowledge, he's not talking about head knowledge. He's talking about really getting it. Say to your neighbor, when Pastor says revelation, he's talking about you and I getting it. Yeah, we're talking about light bulbs going off. We're talking about, oh my goodness, what have I been thinking? Knowledge from God that revolutionizes your life. I mean, it takes your old thinking like a dog with a rabbit. Throws it away. And you got, whoa, I see some new things. I don't know why I said that. I guess I saw a video the other day with a dog attacking a coyote and killing it. We're living in the country here, all right? Verse number 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous, not from you, but for you. He lays it up, sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly, and so forth and so on. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, verse 9 says, judgment and equity and every good path. And he goes on. There's a lot of good things there. But back to what we're saying here, you got to go after it. Get it. If you went to chapter number, that was chapter number 2, go to chapter number 4 in Proverbs. It says in verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. That's instructions. Get it. Go after it. Wisdom is also another word for revelation. There's more to this than what we have time to get into today. But when you see it, now you have wisdom. All right, so, but he said, we do this by faith, according to Romans. So just like you believe God for healing or some sort of need to be met or wisdom or something, believe God for revelation. I am not saying the Lord spoke to me to tell you this, but it just came up in my heart today. I believe you ought to make this a daily, heartfelt request from now to the end of the year. Lord, give me, according to Romans, remember we always talk about Ephesians 1, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You see those two words together? That's why we intertwine wisdom with revelation back here in Proverbs. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of my understanding, Lord, that they'd be enlightened. Give me a wise and understanding heart. Remember, Solomon prayed for that. And he got what he asked, and God also said, that'll get you everything else. We've been praying for this, praying for that, praying for that. Let's focus in on the principal thing, the main issue, the real deal. The real issue is that is light, that is getting it, that is revelation, that is understanding. God's got it. Go to the book of Mark and the 4th chapter, just some verses we'll stand on when we do this. I believe you ought to do that. Make that the main thing. I'm calling out for it right now in my life, big time. Actually, a couple of things, but this is one of the things I'm calling out for. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Some of the things that we're moving into in ministry, Lord, I have to have understanding, wisdom to operate in that and steward that properly. So Mark chapter 4, we see here in verse 21, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, not to be set on a candlestick? He's not just talking about candles. Notice what he said. Verse 22. There is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. In other words, anything that's not revealed, see, hidden or kept secret is a word for not revealed. That's a way of saying not revealed. He's saying there's nothing that's not revealed that I'm trying to keep from you. In other words, that's not the reason it's not revealed. You need to know something in your life, then it's not, the reason you don't know it is not because I'm withholding it from you. Huh? He later talks about, if you read this same, go on down through here, he goes in verse number 23, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. That's the issue, us being able to hear it. Then he said in verse 24, take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, it'll be measured to you. To him that hear, to you that hear shall more be given. More revelation. In other words, to him that hath, in other words, has ears to hear. It comes to us according to our ability to receive it. It comes to us according to our faith. There are things that in all of our lives, just not talking about you, all of our lives, that if God spoke to us what he really wanted to share with us right now, we would choke. It comes progressively as we're able to hear it. Amen. I in my life have had areas that were more of a struggle for me to hear God in than other areas. Anybody can identify with that? Anybody? Some things might have come easier than other areas. I've heard people say, you know, divine healing just seemed like that was so hard for me to get a hold of. Others say, you know, just receiving the mercy and forgiveness of God, that was a difficult thing for me. Whatever, prosperities, that's a lot of people struggle with that one. The issue is not on God's side. It's on us. You know, whatever it was, little offenses, taking offense at things somebody said or past, you know, whatever. And so it puts us, it gives us a barrier, a wall. We put up a defense. And some things you need to guard against, but not God and not the truth. How many of you know the truth is sometimes hard to hear? Because it's not always complimentary. But if we have faith, number one, and humility, number two, we can hear anything we need to hear. Faith and humility. Why do we need faith and humility? Well, number one, let's take the humility first. Humility, even if God shared something with us and we don't have the humility to say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Well, it's no use even sharing it. Because if he shares it and we go, well, Lord, I was treated wrong. And, and start making excuses. Well, then it doesn't really help that he even shared it. And so the lights go out. The light came, but we put it out. And we set it aside. Notice what he said. He that hath ears to hear, to him shall more be given. Verse number 24, we read that. If you can hear this, then whatever God has to share with you after that, then you can hear that eventually too. But getting stuck on this, whatever he's saying right now, it'll keep you from ever even hearing. In fact, God will never even bring up the next thing. It's no use bringing it up. It's a little like a toddler growing up, and eventually you teach him 2 + 2 = 4. Takes him a while to get a hold of that. But until he gets a hold of that, it's no use talking about calculus or algebra. I mean, you can jabber it all. You can jabber all that stuff. In fact, I won't even understand what you're talking about. I wasn't graced in math. I could do better now that I got my mind renewed and I got some faith. But back then, I said, Jesus, you get me out of algebra, I'll go preach. He got me out of algebra with a C, with the help of Walker Schurz. And a very patient teacher, I got a C, and I said, Jesus, I'll never visit an algebra class again in my life. I'll obey you and go preach the gospel all over the world, but I will never say. That's for Brother Andre and other people and stuff like this. You know, I'm smart, just not choosing to be smart in that area. But where was I before you got me off on that subject? No, I'm talking about revelation comes by faith. You have to trust God for it. Now, it comes into your heart, not your brain. You got to get that. It won't always compute in the calculator up on your shoulders. Things will come in that don't make sense, that the doctors say don't make sense, that the lawyer says doesn't make sense, that the banker doesn't say makes sense. I've lived that way most of my life since I've learned to walk by faith, I'm talking about. I've lived that way. The doctor saying no doesn't mean no. The banker saying no doesn't mean no. If I have a yes from heaven.
Amen. Come on.
It's amazing how it works. But you've got to learn to know his voice. And when we talk about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, we're not talking about faith comes by the words bouncing off your eardrums. That's a part of it. We obviously understand that. But when the Bible talks about the Word of God, it uses two different words. One of them is logos and one of them is rhema. That's where they got Rhema Bible Training Center from. The word rhema is not just the written word. Logos is the written word. But rhema is the spoken word. The word spoken is not just the word on the page. The word spoken is the word spoken to your heart, breathed on by the Holy Ghost, and it comes alive on the inside of you, and you go, oh, I see it. I see it. That's revelation. Faith comes by revelation knowledge, by hearing and getting revelation. Not just logos, not just the words on the page. You can read the Bible and not get anything out of it. Faith comes by the Spirit of God. In fact, Him breathing on it. But let me say this. It'd be better for you to get revelation on one good verse concerning your situation than mentally log 1,000 verses that you have no revelation of. Just what is the Spirit of God highlighting to you? I remember one time before I learned to live without the flu. I remember getting the flu back there in Rhema days. I remember one day my wife, we were just married. I think we were married. Anyway, yeah, we were married. She was in the choir. And so we went early. I took her early to get, choir practice was what, Sunday night at 5:30, 6 o'clock or something like that. And so before main service, Sunday night, they had Sunday night. And so I decided, well, I'll just drive. Was it a Wednesday? Oh, it was a Wednesday. Never mind. It was a Wednesday. You know, some of the details slip eventually, but... The point is, I just took her to practice, and there's no use driving home because by the time I drove home, I had to turn around, come back, get to church on time. So I just sat in the parking lot, and I said, well, I know what to do. I got some time. I'll just take some time and feed on the word concerning my healing because I had the flu. Don't know why I had it. I just decided to sign on the line, I guess. You know, you can learn how to not receive it. No condemnation if you do. We're just learning. How many of you know we're talking about learning? Revelation. Revelation, how to do these things. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I was prompted Isaiah 53, and I just meditated on that, and I got to that, what is that, 4 or 5, surely he hath borne our sicknesses. You know, King James says griefs and sorrows, but the Hebrew says, it's translated many times in the Old Testament, sicknesses. And I got my spirit snagged me on that, and I go, right here's my verse. Surely he hath, surely. And I got to meditating on surely, that he has. Not anybody's wife, surely. I'm talking about surely. Without a doubt. No question about it. It is a settled issue. Surely he, not me, he hath borne. Hath is past tense. Hath, and I got all, I mean, every word was coming off the page at me. I'm like, glory to God. He bore my sicknesses, and not just everybody else, my sicknesses and my pain. He took the flu. He bore the flu. And the word bore means to carry up and bear away as a substitute and in somebody else's place. It's substitutionary. Much of the church world doesn't believe that verse. But Jesus took all their sicknesses and all their diseases. Many people don't get healed, Pastor. We're talking to you about why. Don't get offended. They don't see it. They don't believe God for it. They don't have the revelation of it. And they don't believe the word. They don't mix faith with it. It's a faith issue. It's interesting how I use my faith. I get it. They don't use their faith. They don't get it. I guess it's not that God heals some and God doesn't heal others. I guess it's not that just God just sometimes takes a liking to some and sometimes he wants to pick a flower to bring them to heaven and all that weird stuff you don't find in the Bible. It must not be all God sovereignly deciding. It must be a faith issue, and that's exactly what Jesus taught. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. It's not a God sovereign issue, it's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. Whether it's you or me, it's a faith issue. Maybe we haven't learned how to come to that place yet. Hey, no condemnation. Let's just not stop where we are. Let's just keep on growing. So I got a hold of that, surely he hath borne. All those words were coming. And it was time. I looked at my watch, time to get into church. So I got out of my car. Never forget it. I was in the parking lot. I stepped up off the parking lot onto the sidewalk. I'll never forget it. Just as soon as I got up on the sidewalk, the Spirit of God up out of my spirit said, therefore, because of this revelation that I had just seen. Revelation. Therefore, believe that you receive. I said, right now, right now. I'm not even in church yet. Right now. Bible didn't say the just shall go to church and believe God. We believe in going to church. We believe in believing God. But you don't have to be in church to believe God. You can get saved outside of a church. You can get saved sitting on a bar stool. Why? Because God honors faith. Outside of church, in church, anywhere, he'll honor faith. So I said, right here, oh, and I got excited. I said, Lord, I believe I received. It's just like somebody, because I had, you know, all the symptoms, scratchy throat, my nose is running, my ears are plugged up, you know, all that stuff. And I said, Father, Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried mine. He carried this. So I believe I receive. I mean, I wasn't even halfway from the spot on the parking lot. I mean, the sidewalk that he said, surely I believe you receive, and then the door. It was about from here to that back wall to the door. I wasn't even halfway up there, and I said, Lord, I believe I receive. And it's like somebody took a plunger and went and pulled all that snot out of my nose. It just disappeared. I know, it's graphic, but I'm a country boy. The throat loosened up. The itchiness went away. My ears opened up. I was standing on the sidewalk and got healed right there. Amen. Well, I wish I could get that to work for me. It doesn't work by wishing. It works by revelation. It was living reality to me at that moment. It wasn't something I'm going through the most. I believe I... No, I had revelation. He took this. He took this. He took this right now. He took this. 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 He took mine. Not somebody else. Yeah, he took everybody's. You understand. But he took mine. He took this right now. So I mixed my... I saw it. I had revelation of it. And that revelation brought faith. And then when I acted on it, boom. Power was in that gospel. There was enough power. There was enough power in surely to get rid of the flu. That was the main word that jumped off at me. Surely. There's enough power in surely to heal me of the flu. And there's enough power in surely to heal you of cancer, heal you of tuberculosis, heal you of anything. Power in the gospel. Power in the gospel. Has to be revealed. And it's revealed by faith. And then when it is revealed, more faith comes. Revelation comes to your heart through the Holy Spirit, and then it floats up out of your heart to your mind. A lot of times, when your heart gets it, you just burst out into a laugh, and the joy comes. The Bible said, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart." Well, I think, Pastor, I got it. No, you don't got it. No, you don't got it. When you got it, when you get it, tell your neighbor. He's talking now. What? Listen. When you get it. You get excited. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. It makes you rejoice. You're no longer trying. You got it. You get it?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Tell your neighbor, got it. Yeah, you can tell by looking at your face. The other day I was praying about some things, some decisions we're making, and up out of my spirit came some revelation of how to do some things. I was still about half awake, you know, in the morning. You know what I'm talking about. Lord, I thank you this morning. Praise the Lord. You're waking up. And I'm still about half awake. And something came boiling up out of my spirit. I saw how to do it. And right there in the morning, and you're half awake, I go, I started laughing. Because I saw it. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. And while I was laughing, my head went, what? What? It didn't get it. But my head doesn't have to get it for faith to work. Faith doesn't work in the head. Faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart. With the heart, man believeth. I'm enjoying this utterance. I don't know about you. I got home from California a few weeks ago, and the Spirit of God said, make my people skillful in faith. I can't do that. You don't understand. I understood what he meant. In other words, preach it so they get skillful. Anybody that wants to be skillful. I can't make anybody. I understood what he meant. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, getting it. Tell your neighbor, got it. Hallelujah. You really have as much revelation as you desire. Right now, the amount you have is how much you want. Why? Because you only release faith for things you desire. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. Amen. You know God as much as you want to know Him. If you want to know Him more, you'll get in there and you'll seek and you'll say, Father, I receive. I thank you for revelation. Most of the time when God speaks to me or something comes alive, I'm either doing one of two things. I'm either praying or I'm meditating on the Word. That's the reverent attitude God needs in order for our spirits to get it. Or sometimes right after, I've just finished doing that as a result of doing that. Does that make any sense? I don't mean God can't talk to you all day long. He can. But sometimes our spirits are not tuned toward Him like it is whenever we're quiet and in fellowship with Him, prayer or something like meditating on His Word. Hallelujah. The Bible says about Abraham in the Old Testament. Remember God said, so shall thy seed be. He was looking at the stars and he said to Abraham, God told Abraham, count the stars. I can imagine one, two. You ever try to do that? Yes, you lose track after a while. It's hard. You can't do it. Number one, you can't count that high. But number two, did I count that one? So God told Abraham, count the stars. And he's probably like, okay, one, two. He's seeing stars. And while he's looking at the stars, while he's looking at the stars, the Bible said God spoke to him. So shall thy seed be. Because he's losing count. And God said, that's what your seed's going to be like. And he didn't even have a boy. He didn't even have a baby. They hadn't been able to have a baby. God says some absurd things. I'm talking about to this thing up here. That the banker says isn't so. The doctor says isn't so. The lawyer says it isn't so. Your wife says it isn't so. And your relatives, they say it ain't so. They say you need to go to the psych ward is what they say. Come on now. I don't mean God's absurd. I mean some of the things He said just don't make no sense. Just don't make no sense. Like Abraham, so shall thy seed be. That doesn't make any sense. We don't even have children. We're old. We hadn't been able to have children. This is how. And God spoke to him and he believed it. He believed it. Isn't that right? By the way, somebody said it doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to make faith. Supposed to make faith. People have had their sense corrupted by the fallen condition of the world to where reasoning reasons out everything God tries to say to us. And therefore, they try to reason it out and it doesn't make sense. So they throw it away and say, well, I must not have heard God. You think Abraham heard God? The proof is that he got the results, so he obviously heard God. That's the way it is today. His seed is all over the earth. But the point is that when God said it, it didn't make sense. There's no way. No way. No way. God, don't you understand? There's no way. Don't forget you're talking to the one who is the way maker. Yeah. But what I wanted you to see is when God said, look at the stars and try to count them, that's when he spoke to him. When you're looking, that's whenever you'll hear God speak to you. Well, I just need direction in this area. Are you looking for it? Are you reading good books along that line? Are you meditating in the Word? And I'm not talking about just listening to it on the way to work. That's all good and fine, but you got to get your mind quiet. Most of the time when I'm driving, there's enough stupid drivers out there. That I mean, after a while, I drove for 3 minutes, and I was like, oh, I didn't even hear what he's saying for the last 3 minutes. You got to hold that button to hold it. Beep, 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 beep. Go back. At least that's the way mine is. And then, there's where it was. And then I run into another stupid driver, and I go, oh, I forgot what he's saying, you know. Get quiet. Give God the kind of reverent attitude that he needs for the revelation to come to you. I'm not preaching against listening to it on the road. I mean, sometimes you can do that better than others. You understand. Praise the Lord. All right. Some days I get out of my, I just have a sense when I get out of my house, I'm like, I better take my dumb umbrella today. I can just feel it's dumb out here today. Some days you just run into dumb this, dumb that, everything dumb. Why are you so dumb? You're dumb today. Dumb. Why'd you say that? That was dumb. Dumb drivers, dumb, 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 dumb. Let's take my dumb umbrella. Keeping some of you interested in what we're sharing. Praise the Lord. I feel like sometimes saying to some people, I don't think you're on the asset column of anybody's books. But I don't say that. I just think it and say, Lord, forgive me. But anyway, you know, when you get your mind renewed, you're not as dumb. Some people have big educations and are dumb. Anyway, Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand. I know there's more to that verse, but that's the part I wanted you to get. Through faith we understand. You can read a verse, look at it, stare at it, and your brain goes, I don't get it. I don't know what he's talking about. Rather than say, that's confusing. I don't understand. What is? I don't get that verse. Rather than look at it and say all that, say, through faith, I understand that verse. In other words, you're using your faith for revelation. Isn't that right? Through faith, I understand. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to do that for you. So you should say that. Say that out loud. God's not hiding anything from me. We already read it in Mark. That's what he's saying over there. Is anything hidden that shall not be revealed? In other words, he's saying, I'm not hiding anything. I just need you to get in the place where you can hear it. Like that two-year-old talking to him about calculus. You can't talk to him about calculus. And so, Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And there might be some things he'll lay as a foundation before you ever really get to that verse and understand that verse. But he'll get you to it if you'll follow him. Let him teach you. Amen. So in the when you look at things that your mind says, I don't understand, declare the teacher lives on the inside of me. The guide lives on the inside of me. The one who wrote that lives on the inside of me. He knows. He understands. And begin to look down on the inside. Unhook your head from it and look down on the inside. So by faith, I understand. Say that. By faith, I understand. Is this a big issue? Well, maybe it must be because Jesus said, upon revelation of who I am is what I'm going to build my church on. This is a big deal. Remember, Jesus was saying, who do people say I am? They told him, Jesus said, who do you say I am? And Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Your flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, Peter. My Father in heaven, in other words, through the Holy Spirit, he revealed that to you. And this is what I'm going to build the church on. Faith that comes because of revelation of who Jesus is. Before people really have revelation of who he is, they curse his name. I'm thinking of a famous comedian. He grew up in a Christian church. His dad was a pastor, actually. It sounded like a little bit of an unusual kind of pastor. But anyway. And he used to have the most off-color jokes and stuff. I kind of like comedy, so sometimes I look for some, but it's so hard to find comedy that's not, you know what I'm talking about, not off-color. There are very few. Even some Christians, you can't even. But anyway, so in looking around, I saw this guy and I had it like, I can't listen to him. And vulgar, just, you know, bad. But the other day I saw a video on YouTube that he had been to Liberty University and shared some things. And I had a prompting. So I went over there and he shared his testimony about how he got back with God. Actually, his wife got right with God and they got him back to God. And he was sharing his testimony. Then I don't know if it was the president or somebody, it was interviewing him, and he was sharing about how he got to God and more details. So anyway, he was, and then he began to weep. He said, The only problem is all those things I said. He said they're all out there on video, and I can't get them back. You know, and he was you could tell he was genuine. He's like, I'm done with all that stuff. And he's really serving God. From what I can tell, just on that interview, you could tell it's for real. And he's weeping about it. All that stuff's out there, and I can't get that all back, you know. And so, you know, it was a good interview. But my point was that whenever he grew up, he had maybe no knowledge or a little bit of knowledge. But whenever he would mock things, spiritual things. He'd make fun of spiritual things. But when he got revelation of who Jesus was, it changed him. Changed him. Changed Paul on the road to Damascus, didn't it? Changed him. And it'll change you. It'll change you. It'll change your mouth. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your thinking. It'll change everything. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your it'll change your the way you raise your children. It'll change everything. It'll change your finances. It'll change the way you see you'll like you. Paul saw who he was in Christ. He liked that man so well that he forgot about Paul and thought and just called himself, I knew a man in Christ. He just started calling a man in. He called himself a man in Christ. When you see yourself in Christ, you're like you. You're like, well, I like that guy. That old man, I don't like him. I like this new man. Revelation changes you. Jesus said, that's what I'll build my church on. Get a revelation of redemption and the finished work. Who you are in Christ. That's one of the things this church is built on. So it's really the ministry of the Holy Spirit that moves on people's faith that causes these things to come real. People sit in the same service, but yet they sit in different services. I've done it before where I remember one time I was sitting in the back of the healing school class years ago, Brother Keith Moore's ministering, and I had a lot going that day, and I popped in late because I'm trying to get out of town to go preach. And I had things I had to do, schedule I had to meet to get there, just to get there. I got in a little bit late. I sat down beside a man in the back seat, and I just wanted to hear the word before I left. And I'm thinking, while Brother Moore's preaching, I'm thinking about some things I got to do before I leave, you know, and I'm still not engaged. And Brother Moore must have made a point that was really good or something. This man was beside me. I found out later he's Baptist. He's sitting there and he's listening to Brother Moore preach. I'm sitting there beside him thinking about all I got to do. I'm not getting anything out of the service. But Brother Moore must have made a good point because the good old Baptist brother here, he said, hallelujah, amen. I woke up and I'm like, whoa, what'd he say? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Woo. I got convicted. I got convicted. The Baptists are getting more than me. I'm convicted. A good Baptist brother saying amen. And I'm going, huh? What? What happened? Same thing's happening right now, right today. Some are going, oh, this is life-changing. This is helping me. Others are going, I got to get, I hope he quits at 12 because we got to get to the baptism and I got to go. Okay. Come on now. Woo. There's something about God that he needs your attention for you to get it. Anybody found that out? He needs your attention to get it. I've seen some of you moms and your dads, your child's not listening to you. And so you get them up, come here, son. And you get their face in your hands and you hold their face and make them make eye contact with you and say, listen to me, son. Isn't that right? Because they're not getting it. You're saying something, but they're not getting it. Of course, none of us have ever done that to God, but... No, we have. God needs our attention for us to get it. And that's the reason some people don't get it. They're not really paying attention. You or me? Not trying to put you down. Maybe it's not you. But sometimes you can look at people's faces and tell. Hallelujah. Don't just come to church. Engage. We got to put that all over the door right there. Don't just come to church. Engage. The Holy Spirit's ready. God's ready. He wants to share. You know, God is love. And love wants to share. He's willing to share secrets. Not secrets hidden from you, but hidden for you. The Lord one time said the reason the secret place is called the secret place is because he said it's where I share my secrets. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Have you spent some time in the secret place? The secret place where you block everything else out. Turn the phone on mute. Whatever you got to do. This is my time. The staff knows there are certain times they don't even call. He won't answer. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's finish up with one more thing. I got about 12 to 14 pages. I'm at the bottom of page one. So, woo! Thank you, Lord. We're getting it. Go to Isaiah. Chapter number 45. Mm-hmm. It would be wise to share for the rest of this year to pray, Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom, revelation. I've prayed that for my relatives, and they came from mocking me, making fun of me behind my back, even in front of my face. I remember one of them, in front of my face one day. I just loved on them, you know. I knew they're ignorant. Of the Bible. Yeah. I didn't feel bad for me. I felt bad for them. So I just started praying for them. And they have turned around so much. Because they're seeing things they've never seen before. And they bring up things sometimes that I go, praise the Lord. Glory to God. They're getting it. They're getting it. Amen. And they call you for prayer, you know they're getting it. Isaiah 45, verse number 15. Verily, thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Well, Pastor, that looks like it contradicts Mark chapter 4. And there's another verse, Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't remember if it's the Amplified, but many translations say he reveals himself. He reveals himself to those that seek for him. Well, that's all through the Bible. So when he rewards, what does it mean he is a rewarder of them that seek him? It means it'll be worth your while. He'll make it worth your while to find the answer. Not only the scriptural answer, but specific things that in your situation, what do I do here? Do I take out a loan? Do I buy that property? Do I get this operation? What do I do? He'll make it worth your... To be a rewarder means he'll make it pay off. For you to seek him, to know what to do, to know answers. Hallelujah. With sincerity. Don't do it with, you know, half-heartedness. And blocking, say, well, Lord, you can only talk to me about these areas. Let him talk to you about any area. Yes. Sometimes we think we know what the answer is, and it's not. Amen. Seek him with an open heart, with a humble heart, with a teachable heart, not blocking anything out, not being defensive with anything he does share. I've been believing God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and some things we're going to be sharing with some of you, it's going to be, well, I've already run into it a little bit. Watch out for this. Why? Oh, what are you trying to imply? That's not going to work. Amen. Anyway, back to Isaiah 45. Thou art a God that hides thyself. Well, he's also a God, the Bible says in the book, in the Bible, he reveals himself. Well, which one is it, Pastor? Is it God, the God that hides himself? Is he playing hide and seek? What's he playing here? Thou art a God that hides thyself. Hebrews 11:6, you are of God who reveals yourself. Which one is it? Hiding himself or revealing himself? Fact is, both. Might seem funny, but it is the truth. If God wanted to, and I'm closing. If God wanted to, at 2 o'clock this afternoon, after lunch, everybody's in their house, they're you know, whatever. The whole world, of course, it's not 2 o'clock everywhere, but he could manifest in the atmosphere of this planet in full manifestation and said, I am Jehovah. I am that I am. And everyone hit their knees. The power of his voice, the majesty of his glory, and the everything that he is in full manifestation. Everybody sees it and says, there is a God. Boom, hits the ground. Prostrate before God. God could do it. He could do it. If he wanted to, he could do it. I said, if he wanted to, he could do it. Every doubter would instantly be cured. Every university professor saying there is no God, teaching atheism, would be on their knees. He would reveal himself. Why doesn't he do it? It would fix a lot of problems down here. He doesn't want to, that's why. I said he doesn't want to. He wants to be believed. I said he wants to be believed. Hallelujah. Why do I see him in daily things that happen? Wonderful things that happen. I see him all the time. I see his activity. I see him guiding your life and things. And I see his activity in your life, other people's lives. I see his activity in my family's life. I see his activity in my wife's life. I see his activity in my life. I'm blessed. I rejoice. I see him. I see him. He's revealed to me. That was God right there. Amen. Just like I stepped off the platform and I didn't even think about it with my knee. God right there. There's a lot of doubters, they go, you know, the knees always kind of heal up eventually anyway. Hey, no, you don't understand how I heard it. They don't see him. They don't see his activity. They don't see him in working in our society, in you know, all the things he's doing. They don't see him. I see him. Why don't they see him? Well, because he's both a God who hides himself and he's a God that reveals himself. Well, how do you get from being where he's hiding himself to over where he's revealing himself? That's what we've been preaching the whole service. You gotta believe. He's a faith God. He reveals himself. He's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. But he does respect faith. He honors faith. He reveals himself to people of faith. If you don't have faith, you won't see him. If he walked down the street with a red hat on, you wouldn't even see him. Nah, that's not, people would find a way to doubt it. They do all kinds of stuff. I mean, you hear testimonies on the news of people that came back from the dead or out of a coma or something, and the families maybe giving praise to God, and all the doubters going, they just blow it off. That was God. Right there, a believing family had a miracle. It went on news. I saw him on Fox News the other day. God brought this young boy out of death. And the family's giving praise to God and everything, and they put it on the news. And you hear all these people, this modern science, they can do all that. The doctor said they couldn't do anything. They don't see him. They don't see him. Why? They don't believe. Someone said, God, just show yourself, reveal yourself. Some people wouldn't believe anyway. Amen. Some people say seeing's believing. Not for a lot of folks. Not for a lot of folks. Not for a lot of folks. You can have a miracle right in their face. And because they don't have faith, they don't see God. I have faith. I see God. Woo! Come on, stand to your feet. I see him. I see him. I see him. I see him in your life. I see him in my life. Hallelujah. I see how I used to be squirrely up here. You know what I'm talking about. I see how you used to be squirrely up here. Praise the Lord. We ought to make it a habit because we're people of faith. Whenever we see him, we acknowledge it. That's God. That's God. That right there, that was God. Even if it's the littlest thing, that was God right there. Why? Because we're people of faith. We're people of faith. We see it. We see it. Hallelujah.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.